We have been talking about Galatians, and that led us to talk a little bit about living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. We're still looking at that. One of the things that is necessary in order to live and walk in the Spirit is hearing from God. Hearing from God. How many people here would say that you hear from God as much as you want to? How many of you would say, I don't hear from God nearly as much as I think I should? The Lord has been bringing me back to a verse of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 50. Verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5. Morning, Gail.
Good morning.
It says, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. How would you like to have that? How would you like to have an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary? To always have the right thing to say at the right time. That would be a blessing.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, he talks about how this happens. Isaiah tells us that he wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. Like I said, God's just been burning this verse on my heart over the past 2 or 3 weeks. Keeps drawing me back to it. And whatever else I'm reading, I just kind of flip back over here and look at this and meditate on it some more. How many of you wake up in the night? Usually. Or at least often, you wake up in the night. And you know, a lot of us, we wake up in the night and we go trudging down the hall. You know, go to the restroom, then come back and get under the warm covers, and that's it. Isaiah says that the Lord is the one who's wakening me up morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. Maybe you've had some of those times where you were laying in bed, sound asleep, minding your own business, and suddenly you're wide awake. I mean, you're not just like, oh, what time is it? It's like, boing, I'm wide awake. You ever had that? Yeah? Oh, you're not sure? You're still in the groggy stage.
I don't get up when the alarm goes off.
Some of the things that have been coming to my mind as I've just been meditating on this is God wakes us up. God will wake you up. Sometimes he'll wake you up when you want to be waking up. Sometimes he'll wake you up when you would be late if he didn't wake you up. I had God do that to me before. Miss the alarm clock or miss whatever I was planning. It's like, you know, you just wake up and you look and it's like, ah! But you woke up really at the right time. You had just enough time to do what you needed to do. So one thing is that God wakes us up. And he does it morning by morning. What does that sound like?
A song.
It sounds like a song.
Morning.
Morning by morning sounds like something that's kind of like an appointment. Or at least consistent. I don't know how many of you have had those times where you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why it's 3 o'clock in the morning, but there have been so many times in my life that I've woken up and looked and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. One time I woke up and it's 3:33. It's like, whoa. Why? What's the significance? But he says in Isaiah 50, 4 through 5, he said, God wakes me up. God wakes me up. He does it morning by morning. And he also wakens my ear. To listen. And he does this so I can be like one being taught. He wakens my ear to listen so I can be like one being taught. Before we look at verse 5, Eddie. God knows us. The Bible says he remembers our frame, that we are but dust. You know, he looks at us, he knows us from top to bottom, inside out. What are we like when we get up in the morning? Raring to go, wishing we could get back in bed. Sometimes depends on our personality, sometimes depends on what time we went to bed the night before, but we're typically looking forward to starting a new day. We're typically getting ready to go out and face the world, or not. What are we like late at night? Tired, ready to go to bed. Just want to see the pillow. When can God speak to us? When can God speak to us?
When you're rested. I mean, even when you send kids to school, you send them to school soon after they get up. Because the best time to teach them is early in the morning. For most. I mean, I'm sure there's a percentage that it's not like that. But I think that's what he wants to do us.
Yeah. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody who was falling asleep?
Have you ever fallen asleep?
I had a college roommate who would lay on the top bunk while I was on the bottom bunk, and he would ask me a big, deep theological question late at night. And I'd be like, well, if you really want to know, and I would just go off at this discussion, and then after about 5 minutes into the discussion, I would hear,
maybe he was wanting to go to sleep.
Maybe. Which made me want to put my foot right in the middle of the mattress. Right after breakfast. I've been on the other end of that conversation. My friend from Scotland, who was here a few weeks ago, he and I have sat up late and talked sometimes, and there's been a couple times I'd be like, just, you know, feeling myself going. It's like, you know, I can't do this. Not tonight. We sat late talking the other night. I just can't handle it right now. And you can't get a lot of communicating done when one party is just extremely tired. You can try. You can try as hard as you want, but it's just hard. And the Bible says in Isaiah 50 that God wakes us up. Now, is he a harsh taskmaster? Is that what he said? What's his yoke, Gil?
Easy.
Yoke is easy. So that's one thing we know about that, is that his yoke is easy. How much sleep do you need? 20 hours. 30. I remember my sister used to come home from college. We'd come pick her up on a Friday night, and she'd sleep all day Saturday. Didn't understand that. I was young, full of energy, then I got to college. But the Bible says his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He knows how much sleep we need, is what it means. And if he's waking us up at a certain time, whether it's 3 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning or 2 in the morning or whenever, whatever it is and whenever it is, he really knows what we need. He knows how your body works and your biorhythms and whatever else you want to talk about. He knows how all that stuff works far better than we do. And if he wakes us up, it's for a purpose, and it's for a good purpose. And it's the worst time. Hello? Is it the worst time that he wakes us up? You reckon? Would it be the best? I mean, does God just kind of do things that? Well, let's see. He just got into the alpha stage. Watch this. God's not like that. God's not see how I can mess your day up. His yoke is easy. God does things at the best time. So he wakes us up. He does it morning by morning. Kind of like an appointment, something consistent. At least that's what Isaiah was saying. His experience was that the Lord didn't just do this once in a blue moon. It was that there was a particular time, or there were particular times when Isaiah would be resting, and then the Spirit of God would come along and shake and say, oh. Yeah, it doesn't mean you don't feel tired initially. It doesn't mean you don't feel like jumping up and running a battle, of course. Sometimes you might. Sometimes you might have that I'm instantly wide awake, I couldn't go back to sleep if I tried feeling. And he says it's a morning by morning thing, like an appointment, something consistent that was going on. And he says he wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. Christine Dobbins and I were talking last week. And we were just sharing because God, she was talking about God was trying to teach her to listen. I said, well, that's the same thing God's been speaking to me. Like, oh, praise God. And she just got started. We were talking. She said, God wakes us up and we go to the bathroom. And then we come back and just lay down in bed again. And God's trying to speak to us the whole time. And, you know, you start thinking about that, and it's like, yeah, it's true. I mean, we look at, oh, it's just a natural phenomenon. I got to get up and I go to the restroom. Well, yeah, maybe. But, you know, while you're sitting there, just say, well, God, got anything to say to me? I'm listening. I'm listening, God. Now, this doesn't say how long Isaiah stayed up. I mean, this could have been the first thing in the morning and Isaiah started his day afterwards. It could have been 3 o'clock in the morning and Isaiah stayed up 15 minutes and then went back to bed. It could have been 2 o'clock in the morning, or it could have been any number of times throughout the night, and he could have responded in several different ways. It doesn't say he stayed up. Well, God got me up at 3 and I've been awake ever since. Well, God might have got you up at 3 to speak one word to you and then want you to go back to bed. Plant a seed in your spirit so that it would be ready to grow the next morning. It doesn't say how he responded to it. Doesn't tell us the details. Doesn't tell us the mechanics. It doesn't tell us the law. The step by step. The 1, 2, 3. It just says this is kind of how God was working with me. And we know how God kind of works with one person. He very often does with other people. So he says he did this in order to waken my ear to listen. Here's the truth. If God wakes your ear up to listen, it's awake. That's real simple, but listen to it. If God wakens your ear up to listen, it's awake. Why do I say that? Because of the things that we do in church. The things we learned in church. One of my favorite humorous times in the church I grew up in, we had a young lady who went to church who was, she was mentally handicapped just enough that she was mentally handicapped, but she was pretty sharp about some things too. And Mom was in charge of some of the Wednesday night services, and they let her lead a song one time, and different stuff like that, just to include her in our church family, just like anybody else, because she loved God too. And one time, they took prayer requests, and everybody in the congregation was telling their prayer requests, and they said, all right, we're going to let you lead the prayer. So she stood up, and she said, hi, dear gracious Heavenly Father. And then she stopped, and everybody was like, well, what's she going to say next? And then it hit everybody. Oh, this is all she's ever heard. Because the person stands up and says, our dear gracious Heavenly Father, and then everybody joins in, and there's this, you know, kind of loud commotion of prayer, and then somebody dies down, and somebody says, amen. And she was just doing all she heard. That's what she learned in church. You stand up and say, our dear gracious Heavenly Father, and everybody else joins in. So after a pause, everybody joined in. But we have these things in our mind. We think, well, we got to do it this way. We got to jack ourselves up spiritually. We got to get ourselves in gear. Has anybody ever come up to you and asked you, would you pray for me? And you feel like give me 5 minutes. I need to pray first before I can pray for you. I'm not ready to pray for you. Give me a moment to get spiritual first, okay?
Okay. God, please help me here. Oh, let's see. Tick off, did I ask forgiveness for this? Oh, God, I haven't read my Bible. You go through that whole list of things. I'm not ready to pray for you yet. Okay, now I'm ready.
Well, he says, God wakens my ear to listen. And if God wakens your ear to listen, it is awake. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pump yourself up spiritually. You don't have to put it in overdrive. What do you have to do? You just simply have to listen. That's all you have to do. Now, you have to get through a bunch of religious garbage sometimes to do that. For those who are still struggling with grace, and he's going to come along and say, well, you didn't do this, this, or this yesterday. It ain't early enough in the morning for you to have made up for it today. You know. So the people struggling with grace are going to have to push through and say, yeah, I'm saved by grace. I'm accepted by grace. God loves me. God accepts me. For the people that are kind of works-oriented, you're going to be like, well, I need to pray for 10 minutes before I could even hope to be in a position where I could hear from God. No. Listen. Just listen. If God has wakened your ear up, it is awake. All you have to do is listen. Quietly listen. What do you have to say, God? Now Isaiah says he does this. He wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. I love that. Because I know I am extremely limited. I look at myself and I see my shortcomings. I see the areas where I wish I were different or I wish I were better. And God loves me in spite of all that. But the point is that he wants me to be better too. He loves me too much to leave me the way he found me. So he's helping me. And if I will listen, he has the key to each problem. He has an answer for my questions. He has advice for the day. He has direction. When you say advice, you're looking at what the Bible would call wisdom, which is how to live. God has all those things. He knows what I faced the day before and what I'm facing in the day ahead more than I ever do. And if I listen, he has key. God, I have a problem and I don't know how to solve it. He has the key. God, you know, you might have prayed about it the day before. God, I've got a question I need to know. In fact, there was one time, I remember very clearly, I was on an airplane. I was coming back from a mission trip and I was reading the book of Romans. And I said, God, I don't understand this. I was like, I was reading a section in a passage. I was like, I just do not understand what he's saying here. And I just felt like God said, give that question to me. I was like, okay. So I took that question and I just gave it to him. And I quit worrying about it. And I don't know how long it was later. A year, 2 years, 3 years. I don't remember how long it was. But at a point in my life, God started just opening things up. Well, didn't he know the answer? Did it take him 3 years to find the answer? No, it didn't take God 3 years to find the answer. It took me 3 years to be ready for the answer. I wasn't ready for it. It wasn't something that God was needing to do in my life at that time. But it was a question he put in there to prepare my heart for when the time came, I would receive it willingly. Principle. some questions in your life are preparatory. That's hard to hear sometimes.
But it's true. We love answers.
We love to know. We love to have all the details. We're in an information society. We get glutted with it, but we just continually got to know. And then sometimes we have this big, huge thing hit us smack in the face, and we're like, God, why? And God says, that's it. Ask. Keep asking. Just ask. Keep asking. Because it's not an issue of, do I get an answer right now? It's not an issue, do I get an answer a week from now? Do I get an answer a year from now? The question is, are we going to let the question itself shape us and change us and draw us close to God? That is the issue that we face. Some questions in your life are preparatory. Just remember that. And the answer will come in God's time, because God does things at the best time, just not always when we want him to. So, he wakens my ear to listen. He wakens me to be like one being taught. God has everything I need to know, and he'll speak all kind of things to you. All kind of just weird things. You know, just things you're like, I didn't even know I needed to ask you about that. I remember, I think it was before David was born, first child, before he was even born. I was laying in bed one night, just, I don't know, sometimes at night I just lay there and think, sometimes I lay there and read. I was just laying there thinking, and I heard, inside my head, my spirit, wherever, it wasn't an audible voice, but I heard a voice say, Daddy, I want to be just like you when I grow up. Boy, you talk about a sledgehammer. That was heavy. I mean, it hit things home to me in a way that, you know, God could have said, now your son, you need to give a good example to your son. But to hear a voice in my spirit say, Daddy, I want to be just like you when you grow up. That brought home in a way that nothing else would have. And it was a word from God, a word from the Spirit, just to let me realize you've got a lot of responsibility with this. A lot. So God will speak to you about all kinds of cool things. Now, what's our response? Well, the first one is obvious. Don't go back to sleep. I mean, that goes without saying, but we need to say it. Don't go back to sleep. God wakes you up. Hello, Lord. There wasn't much listening going on right there. Don't go back to sleep. Second thing is, he says we are to listen. We'll talk more about what that means. Another thing he says in verse 5, the sovereign Lord has opened my ears and I have not been rebellious. Don't rebel or reject his word. You know, if God takes the time to speak to you, it's important. Don't rebel or reject it. You know, there have been times that I've sat up in my kids' room before and late at night and just sit there and just kind of hang out and listen. And God would speak some things about my dealings with my children or my personality or whatever, and it's just like, you know,
ouch.
Ouch. But God doesn't come along and do it in a condemning way or a judging way. He just tells you the truth. He just tells you the truth. You know, you're like this, and you need to not be like that. You need to let me change you in this area. You need to repent of that. Like, God, you're right. Please help me. And he draws us to himself. So he says, I have not rebelled against his word. When God did speak to me, I didn't rebel against it. Has anybody ever had God show you anything really painful about yourself? I have. Has anybody ever else? Just raise your hand just a minute. Let's tell the truth, shame the devil. All right. I remember a preacher one time talking about how he was praying, you know, God, show me my heart. God, show me my heart. And he said God showed him his heart and like scared the daylights out of him when he really saw his heart. But he asked for it. God did it. That doesn't mean every time God wakes up, he's going to talk about something that's heart surgery. But it can happen. Sometimes he might wake you up and say, I want you to listen to me because there's somebody else I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about this person over here. Consider them for a minute, Craig. Think about them for a minute. And you start thinking about the person and you think, huh, guess they're having a hard time of it. And you start thinking about it more. And what's God doing? He's sharing with you things that are on his heart. Because you know what? You're on his heart. Wouldn't you like for somebody to wake, for God to wake somebody up and say, pray for Kathy? Wouldn't you like to know that God woke 100 people up this morning just to pray for you? That would be great. That would just be great. Well, if we want that, then we need to be willing to be one of those people too. We need to be willing to let God speak to us. Yeah, Kristen.
You know, it's matter like Jesus told his disciples, you know, you can't stay awake 1 hour. But he was afraid, you know, when they were going back to sleep, okay? It's not always time to wake us up to listen, but he wakes us up to talk to him, to pray, and then listen to him, to read. Stay awake 1 hour and read the word. You might have missed something yesterday I want to give you this morning.
Yeah.
In the wee hours of the morning. When you hear no car rolling and no your choir, no doorbell ringing, no telephone, no television. In the quiet time, in the wee hours of the morning. In the quiet time, it's really quiet. 3 or 4, 1 o'clock in the morning. We're so sleepy, we get up and use the bathroom. But God taught me through that. I didn't wake you up to go to the bathroom. I woke you up to listen to time with me.
Yeah.
I want you to hear me. I want you to pray. I want to hear you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it can be about anything. And God might also speak to you about your money. I mean, I just had this financial seminar here yesterday, but God may wake you up one morning, maybe 6 o'clock in the morning, maybe 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe 5:30, doesn't matter. God may wake up and say, give this amount to this ministry or this person or this need. What is our money? It is seed that we sow. That's exactly what it is. Paul said it in the New Testament. It's seed that we sow. And if you sow the seed, you're going to get an increase. God will bless it. He'll multiply it, he'll meet the need of the person, but he'll also bless you because he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And if God knows you're faithful with your seed that you sow, he'll give you more seed to sow. So, he said, I didn't rebel or reject his word, and I have not drawn back. Therein lies the rub, doesn't it? I used to this or I used to that, but I don't, you know. We used to this, we used to that, we quit, we drew back. Why? Who knows? Any number of reasons. But Isaiah says, I have not drawn back. I have not
not let other things keep me from this.
Now, how many people here would be honest and raise your hand and say, you know, I'm not one of those people that God has ever woken up, ever? Anybody? Okay, so everybody's been woken up at least some point, you think? Yeah? I'm not going to raise my hand anyway. Because, you know, if you're not one of those people, if you're thinking, well, this doesn't apply to me, God's never done this to me, ask Him to. Say, God, I want you to speak to me. You know, I want to walk in your spirit. I want to be led by you. So I want to be one of these people that you wake up and you speak to me neat things, whatever time of day it is. And He'll do it. Any questions on this?
A comment.
Sure.
It's been a long time, but I used to think it was a satanic attack.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was always the same time.
Yeah.
And finally I said,
still in my sleep.
Why don't you fight this? I'm gonna get up and have my devotions. And it's not me, it is the Lord. But I do it.
Yeah, right.
And sometimes I'm finding other women that have two mornings. Someone said, I have two mornings. And I do, because I'm able to go back to sleep for maybe an hour and a half and get up again.
Yeah, but get refreshed.
It's something that I hope it never takes away.
Yeah.
I hope I never draw
back. Yeah. Craig, it was interesting when you were talking about some questions in your life preparatory, because I got to thinking about it. It seems like every time I am scheduled to lead worship, as I pray about songs and think about songs and whatever, that there seems to be, and for a long time, it took me a long time to recognize it, is there was this, seemed to be this one song that would just, and I would say, oh, that's I'm supposed to do that. And so I'll sing it, and, you know, kind of it's in my head, and I'm at work and whatever. But then when it comes close to time to actually say, okay, the songs I'm going to do are, if I write that song down, there was this thing that went, no. No, that's not what that song was intended for. I wanted you to sing that one yourself in preparation for this other thing. That's what you need to hear in order to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I think it's, that's the first, and I think that's the questions and with, whatever, is He gives us something to say, this is not, it's kind of like singing a new song. You know, I don't want you to sing this song to put it on paper and publish it and, you know, this is yours. And I'm preparing you for something else.
Exactly.
I love that about people that sing, because Cheryl does the same thing. She'll be working and all of a sudden she just breaks into song. And she's actually prayed for me to have a song. And every once in a while the Lord will give me a song and I think, Cheryl prayed for that. I love that. But it's so refreshing. And I think it's neat that you know it's for you, for Him. You know, we can't even get ourselves a song. We have to get it from Him to give back to Him. So that is, it's just, I love that. So I think a lot of people that are musical do that.
Yeah.
They'll just listen.
While we're touching on that, let me mention this. Because hopefully at some point we'll do the study on the gifts of the Spirit. Music and the flow of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, can be intertwined. And one of the examples that I like in the Old Testament was, I believe, Elisha. It may have been Elijah. But one of the two says, the king wants to hear something from God. And here's the prophet of God who's just, you know, spouts off the word of God whenever they feel like it seems, you know. But the prophet sits there and says, bring me somebody to play an instrument. And so they brought somebody to play an instrument. And the person began to play. And after an unknown amount of time, it could have been a minute, it could have been an hour, the hand of the Lord came upon the prophet, and then he spoke the word of the Lord. And I know one time I was going to go visit some people. I felt like I was supposed to go over to this group of people that was doing a ministry when I was in college and just talk to them. Felt like God might actually want to speak to them. And on the way over there, I had a friend with me, and I remembered that passage of Scripture, and I said, sing something. What? I don't know. Just start singing. And so they just started singing.
And as they were singing, it's just like, I felt that same thing. It's just like the flow opened up. And so when we got there, God did have a word for them, and he spoke to them, and it just came. But, so yeah, you know, God might wake you up at an hour of the morning and say, here's a song, sing it. I'll wake the baby. Don't worry about the baby. The baby's woken you plenty of times. Oh, this is your chance to get back at the baby. Ha ha, wake up you. No, no, no. God doesn't do that to us. He might wake you up to give you a song to sing, and you think, why should I sing that song? And like I said, you sing it and more comes. The flow comes, the word comes, the gift comes, the anointing flows. Any other questions or comments on this?
Again, it's looking at the same thing. Is I think in whatever it is, whether it be reading or music or whatever way that we are worshiping, mm-hmm. sometimes we do that to ourselves. And I believe when you find it, that's good, but you almost have to put yourself, what is the way that I am best? What, how am I going to hear you best? Is it through, is it going into my prayer closet? Or is there a chair in the house that seems to be, this is the spot, or is there a position, or is there, and I think sometimes it's, not that that's going to be the same way every time.
Right.
But I know, like, for me, for example, if I'm having one of those days, and, you know, I'll admit it, you know, I think many of us are that way. I'll maybe be in the choir, and worship is going on, and it's just where you've got 100 things in your head, and it's hard to go, okay, I've got to focus, I've got to focus, get this out of my head, get that out of my head. And I find what helps me to get to the point where I can listen and get into his presence, which is what he wants me to do. For me, is to start singing that Revelation 4 and 5 kind of worship. Holy, holy, who is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is. You know, just to, and I find when I do that, everything else seems to start to go away. My thought being that I'm joining in with the angels at that time.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, that helps me. The other person may say, I just have to close my eyes and pray before I do this. Or another person may say, I have to go on my knees and pray. But I think we have to find what is the way. God wakes us up, but does he wake us up to say, now I want you to lay here in the bed? Or and I can do that sometimes. I can lay in the bed and be fine, but sometimes maybe you need to actually get out of the bed.
So you don't fall back asleep.
Yeah, so you don't fall back asleep. So I think it's also finding and not drawing back from that. Instead of, oh, but right now, I'm just, oh, I got in bed late and I've got to get up early. I'm, you know, just find what that is, and then, because God also knows us. He knows how we need to be. There are certain ways I have to be reached. I'm not going to hear it this way. He knows he may have to give me, you know, beside the head. Or some people may need that small part. And I think that depends on the situation, too. You know, do I need that whisper right now, or do I need him to check me real good? Do you realize I'm talking to you right now? Hello! So I think he knows, and we have to be reached in certain ways, but I think also we have to find what is the way that I, how do I best hear you? Because that, maybe that, you mentioned personality. Yep. Maybe that's my personality. I find best if I do this. Maybe I don't need to do that this time. Maybe I need to get out of my comfort zone. But my way is this. And I think it's sometimes hard to find, how is it that I best hear you?
Yeah. And it's a, because it's a relationship, and relationships are dynamic. Another interesting point about that young lady in the church I grew up in. She told Mom one time that she was laying in the bed. She said, I was laying in the bed, this Naomi, and I was praying. Mom said, she was just kind of kidding with her. You're laying in the bed praying? She said, well, she said, I was just praying for myself. She said, whenever I have something I need to pray for somebody else, I get down and kneel beside the bed.
You know, a lot of times, God wants some of our sleep. He wants some of our food. A lot of times he wakes us up, I want some of the sleep of you. Well, I'm sleepy. Well, I stayed awake 40 days and 40 nights. But we got to go through what he went through. Give me some of that sleep. Give me some of that food. Don't eat nothing to this meal. Don't eat nothing today. I'm hungry. You know, just gladly. Look at those. When you wake up, you know, God, I want some of that sleep. I want an hour. I want 15 minutes of that sleep. No, I'm sleeping. No, I gotta go. I gotta go to work in the morning. God talk to me. I just say that stuff. Well, I get on up, cause I know what he wants. He wants to sleep. He wants me to talk to him, and he wants to talk to me.
Yeah, he does. One other thing that Isaiah does not say here, but we know he did, that I would recommend to you as well, is get you a pad of paper and write it down. Write it down. Well, how do we know Isaiah did that? Well, I've got a question for you. When do you think God spoke the prophecies to Isaiah that are written in the book of Isaiah? Well, that was 8 to 5 when he was, you know, he's a prophet. That was his prophet job. He went to work from 8 to 5 and God spoke to him the prophecies. Okay, God, okay, let's go now. Really? Maybe God woke him up at 3 o'clock in the morning and he said, about Assyria, Isaiah, I want to tell you about Assyria. Yeah, most of us. Me? Why me? I'm not a prophet. Maybe. So, yeah, God might speak to you some really strange stuff. He might say, now concerning Tibet? Tibet? God? Where's Tibet, you know? And God said, you know, early Tibet, early Tibet, whatever. Yes, sir.
I was just going to say, I was thinking earlier when you were talking about how God might speak something directly to you. Sometimes I think you have to be open to hearing it from someone else, too. I was just thinking of, you know, we think of adults and things, with my best friend, she's a intercessor, and her four-year-old daughter, she's like, I know she's got to be an intercessor, because they wouldn't have seen someone maybe for like 6-7 months, you know, for a little kid, a long time. She'll just mention their name out of the blue, and just knows they're supposed to pray for that person, and later they'll talk to them, and they'll say, you know, we prayed for you on this day, and they're like, that was, you know, exactly when they needed it, so I think it's so neat.
Children are open. That's cool. That is cool. So write it down. Why should you write it down?
Because you'll forget it if you don't. The devil will start it right.
So you don't forget it or get it stolen from you. Why else should you write it down, Audie?
With an Ebenezer, you can come back to it.
Okay. So you can come back to it. Anybody else think of a reason why you should write it down?
For someone else.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, too. Yeah. For others. What if Isaiah had a blog? First of all, do you think he would have? Would Paul, you know, missionaryblogger.com.
He doesn't have any idea in paper,
would he? Yeah, exactly. Bring me the floppy disk when you come.
That's too funny.
Write it down for others. So, what about your blog? Where are you going to write it down? I could write down some things God speaks to me. People would think I'm Jeremiah, crazy, cracked, loony, Isaiah. God told you to go naked and barefoot, Isaiah? I don't believe it. You know, there have been a lot of weird people in the group that we call our family of God. Probably the craziest thing that you think God would ever speak to you to do is going to pale in comparison to some of the things that are recorded in here that people did in God's name and with God's approval. Because God did tell them to do that. So get over that. Just get over that. Start writing it down. And, you know, I would encourage you, if you are technically savvy, put it on the internet. If God doesn't tell you, don't do it. And There are times when God will say, uh-uh. He told Daniel, Daniel, seal up the prophecy. Daniel, seal up the prophecy, because the time is not yet for this. You can't write down these words because it's not time. But there would be a time when it would come. John had revelation that came a lot later that had to do with the same thing God was speaking to Daniel about.
So if God doesn't say, Mildred, seal up the prophecy, then share it. Write it in an email to your friends. This is what God was speaking to me about. Huh, that was for me. I didn't know that. That was for me. All right.
There's more to be said about listening to God, and hopefully we'll talk a little bit more about some of the practical applications of how to listen. Anybody have any other questions or comments before we go?
One comment, and I know after I say this, I have a friend that he kept waking up at a particular time. He looked at the clock, and it was like, I think it's 5:34. And finally I said, well, maybe it's the Lord waking you up to spend time with him in the morning. I don't know if he ever did, but I think it's going to awaken something in someone here. Because the Lord wants to do that. He wants that time with him.
Be blessed.